Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. God bless and enjoy the message.
Well, we are going to continue on in worship. I'm excited that you're here, and those of you that are worshiping online, we are thrilled that you are here. Here's what I want to do. I want to first start by reading God's Word. So I'm going to ask everybody out of respect to stand, even those of you online. You're welcome to turn to Acts 17. I believe you can access that on your phones and wherever you have. If you have your scriptures, we're in Acts 17. We're going to start reading at verse 10, whatever version you have. Acts 10, 17, verse 10. As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did the number of prominent Greek women and men. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God in Berea, some of them went there to agitate the crowds and stir them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those escorted Paul, brought him to Athens, and then left instructions for Silas and Timothy to join them as soon as possible. Let's pray. I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we pray now. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat. A couple things I want to make note of to each and every one of you. First is we are kicking off our fall season, and thus our series is entitled Fall In. And what you need to know, for those online, you already know, we have a video that we preluded our service with. It's an 11-minute video with all of our team sharing about what the next season will be for us. For those of you in the parking lot, go to MyKCC app or the website, and you'll be able to view that video and all the exciting things that we have before you. It'll be important for you to know there's something for everybody in the family, so we can let you know that we are no longer reacting. We're being proactive and moving forward as a church. The second thing I'd say, especially to those of you online, that at the end of the service, we are going to have communion at the end of my message. So I would encourage those of you online to now get ready. Get your bread, get your cup, get whatever you need, so that at the end of my message, you can participate with us here on site as you watch and worship with us. So just keep that in mind. For those that may not have a communion element, just like Eddie said, turn your hazards on. Our volunteers will get to you as I speak so that you can actually have a communion element. So they'll be looking for those hazards. Be patient. They'll walk throughout the parking lot to make sure you have it. Okay? Well, today is a really important message for us. And when I get into the moment of important messages, I have this temptation that I must confess to you. You already know it. You had me for almost a year. The more intense and excited I get about something, the more I speed up the vocabulary and the preaching style in which I preach. So I will try to slow it down. God help me. I say that, but then watch out. But will you pray for me? Because I believe God has a word for us today. If I were to categorize today's message, I would categorize it as a 911 SOS message. This is our moment that you and I must understand. What I love about us being in the parking lot is this. We've said many times, how many of you here or online have been overseas in a worship service? Raise your hand. I want to see how many have worshiped in another culture. Several of you. If it's a third world country, one of the things we'll say is this as we return, how easy it is to worship in America. You ever heard that statement? Well, people will worship for hours in various cultures, under heat and distress, under a tree. And look at us these many months later. I applaud you. I applaud you. Because God has kind of taken away that comfort. It's been hot on many days here in the parking lot. And yet you've continued to come. I think there's something good about what God is doing. Anybody with me today? I think he's stripping us of things that we otherwise would never be stripped of. He's taken us back to the essentials of what we need to be taken back to. The question is, are we going to go there? And I'm encouraging all of us to do this. For the next weeks, we're going to be looking at our mission. Because I know one thing after many years is that vision leaks. And it is my responsibility to keep us on target to what I believe God has called us to do. And it's not complicated. Those of you online and those of you here, here's what I want you to understand. I want you to repeat after me. Say, to know him and to make him known. Say it again. To know him and to make him known. Now, we're going to look at that over the next few moments. And today we're going to look at what it literally means to know him. It's going to take all of us 20 seconds of courage. Maybe it's 10 seconds of courage. But 20 seconds of courage that will change who we are. In other words, in order to be able to know him, we got to be all in, completely all in. And I think we have sold you a bill of goods that simply isn't true. We have told you that it only needs to be a certain moment. It only needs to be a certain percentage. It only needs to be when I'm at church. It only needs to be when I need God. Simply not true. Today I'm calling us back to understand that we're going to need some courage to be all in. And we're going to need some courage to know him. Because there are many, many enemies. You know what yours are. Many enemies to keep us from being all in. It never stops pursuing us. Maybe it's your comfortability. Maybe it's your lack of trust. Maybe fear has gripped you in such a way that you simply can't get away from it. And it has paralyzed you. Maybe it's your passivity. Maybe it's our own idolatry, not willing to call things for what they are. Because you know an idol can be a good thing. It's only because it's an idol because it's more important to us than our relationship with God. Maybe your idol is your family, your kids. Maybe it's your politics. Maybe it's your job or your career. Maybe your idol is your image about what people think about you. Oh, yes. We think about that more than we're willing to admit in church, but it is there. That's an enemy of being all in, and it comes our way. Maybe your enemy to jumping all in is disillusionment. Maybe it's hopelessness. I'm calling it out for what it is. God is calling us here for this season. Do you know that when you hired me nearly a year ago, that God already knew a year later I would be on a semi-trailer and I would be preaching to you about things are going to look different. Things are going to be different. And you got to be all in with all of this. We all love things of multiple levels. Let me illustrate it this way. If I were to spend time with you, we would all be able to express things that we like and things that we are passionate about. Let me share a few things with you about myself that some of you know, some of you don't. I'm very passionate about, and I love baseball. Do I have any baseball lovers out there today? Anybody online? Say, I love baseball if you're online. Now, even greater, you want to be my best friend? It's not just baseball. It is the Chicago Cubs. Yeah, come on, Cub fans. Are you out there? Now, Cub fans are crazy fans. I was in Estes Park, Colorado a few weeks ago. I had my Cubs face mask on. Thank you, Linda, for the gift of that. And I was with my best friend. We were walking down the street. And I found another Cub fan in Estes Park, Colorado, with his Cub mask on. And my friend thought I was crazy because all of a sudden, I'm engaging this Cub fan. Never seen him before in my life. And we're talking about the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and 2016. If you're a Cubs fan, you all know what 2016 was, right? I am passionate about the Chicago Cubs. I'm also, if I can pull it out, passionate about running. I run 5 days a week. I have a lot of these medals. I've lost most of them. I'm not a keepsake guy, so my wife will tell you I throw out everything, but I did find one for the sake of the illustration. And I like talking about running. I like running with people. I like all that it does, but it really is a fun sport. The one thing I know about running is you either love it or you hate it. There's no in between. How many love running? Come on, can I get an amen out there? Online, I want you to type in there, I love running. Well, don't lie. If you mean it, write it. Now, how many of you say, I hate running? I think I'm not going to tell you what that vote came out to be. Let me give you my couple others. I also love, I have to confess one of these, I love Coca-Cola. Now, this is not good for me. They tell me there is so much sugar in this, it will defeat the purpose of running. So we try to keep it out of the household. I have to try to keep distant from this. I'm not a snack eater, and I'm not a candy eater or sweet eater, but I love my Coke, even though it's not good for me. I love my family. I will talk about my kids, whoever wants to hear. My wife, and because I love my wife, even the dog Motown. Can I hear Motown back there? He's in the back truck. Give me a Motown hallelujah. Yeah, he's back there. Why do I say this? Why do I give you this? Because each of us could come up on the stage, and each of us could talk about the things we love and the things we're passionate about. And what I'm calling us to do today is to take that passion and take that love and begin to have as much of that energy in our relationship with Jesus. Because as I talk about knowing him today, for those of you who've been in the church for a long time, listen to me clearly. Here's my fear, and this is what I've been praying for, against, is that it will just be another intellectual talk. Yeah, Pastor, I agree with you. I need to love Jesus. I'm all with you. But that's all it is to you. It's an intellectual assent. You totally agree with it. But here's what needs to happen in our lives. Here's my own experience, is that when you truly love the one who created you, this Jesus, to know him, what happens inside of you, regardless of how many breath God gives you, how many days he allows you and I to live, that you will be more hungry for more of him than you were when you first started loving him. Can somebody say amen to that? That's what I'm calling us to today. That in something would stark inside your heart that would enable you to be more desiring, to be passionate about him, to know that this is all the difference. Because you may ask the question as you look about knowing him and being all in. Pastor, I really struggle with scripture. I really struggle with purpose in my life. I really struggle with temptation. I really struggle with this whole American Christianity and following all of its leads. It's because if you're not all in and you don't love Jesus, how did Jesus basically describe it? We know what it is. Do you know what it is? What he says it in Scripture. All in and knowing him is simply this. Loving God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. Where are you at with that? Because here's my concern. We have given you this surface message. And giving you the surface message, we have inadvertently asked you or propelled you or somehow communicated to you that you could build your house, Jesus said in Matthew 7, on the sand. When you have a day that it's sunny, it looks as strong as the house is built on the rock. But it's not until the storm comes that you know that you know it's not on the rock. And I apologize on behalf of the church that we have allowed that foundation to be that way. I'm here to tell you the reason why this is a 911 SOS message. You don't have to have a lot of wisdom and a lot of discernment to see as these clouds come by. And this black cloud that's coming this way that I'm praying won't rain on us in a few moments. We can see what's happening around us in the world in which we live. And I'm here to tell you that if we don't decide to be all in and begin to love him, it's going to be quickly apparent those who have their houses on the sand. Do you need to understand something today? It is not God's desire for you to have your house on the sand. Never was, never is, never will be. It's to be on the rock. They will hold you in the midst of the storm. When your emotions take you to the left and the right. When your doubts begin to scream at you at levels you can't hear anything else. It's in that moment that you are clinging to the rock of Jesus that enables you to stand even though your emotions can't simply go there. We are called to be a disciple. Yes or no? Matthew 28 says we are to go and make disciples. And as a result, that's why we are still here. The Greek word for disciples, mathetes, which literally means a perpetual learner. We need to be this. Question. Are you ready? Are you all in? Are you ready to take that next step? Are you ready to say, I really want to know him above all else? Can you repeat the prayer of the psalmist? This verse has been going through my mind all week. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, O Lord. Are you only after the Chicago Cubs or Coca-Cola? Or are you truly striving to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Have you limited your experience and say, this is been there, done that. This is what it means to follow Jesus. If that's where you're at, you've missed it. You've missed the God of the Bible. Because once we get to know him, what you need to understand is that grace and truth and love will be a part of all of us. All three of those will be evident. Unfortunately, in today's world, we see a combination of these that are very dangerous. We see people out there that have no grace and no truth. As a result, that becomes a philosophy, a system that would be similar with Hinduism and Buddhism, with no systematic theology or system of belief whatsoever. And it's circular in its attempt. There's no linear thought whatsoever. And then you have those who are totally about grace and no truth. And when you have grace and no truth, then you've got Unitarianism and Universalism, which declares it doesn't really matter what you believe. As long as you believe something, let's have tolerance for one another. Can I call it out for what it is? We live in a day and age. We are fastly approaching the end of the age. And as we approach the end of the age, Jesus said, they hated me, they'll hate you. They persecuted me, they're gonna persecute you. And those who declare Unitarianism and Universalism says, you know, just to be tolerant of one another are no longer tolerant. They are now coming after us. They're saying, how can you believe in the exclusivity of Jesus? How can you declare that he is the only way? How can you be so colonialistic in your approach that you're going to go to other cultures and say that Jesus is the way? This is the challenge we have today. And then there are those who have no grace, but they have truth. This is the most dangerous of all religions. This is Christianity today as we are divided. Yes, you may have truth, but you have no grace. And as a result, those who do not know Jesus, that's what they look at when they see us, as people who don't really care about them. And I'm here to declare to you today, we can no longer have religion at its worst. We need to have both grace and truth and love. Can I get an amen, church? We believe in this crazy message. It is a crazy message, is it not? When people want to talk to me about Jesus, and I'm like, before I go there, you just need to know, I believe that God came in flesh form. That turn you off? I believe that he died. And I have the audacity to believe that he rose from the dead. I have the audacity to believe that he ascended to the Father's right-hand side and that he is now interceding for you and I. And now we have the Holy Ghost that is now living inside of me. I have the audacity to believe that one day, and no matter how bad it gets, that cloud and that sky will split and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will return. So you really want to talk, this is what I believe. Anybody there online say, I believe. You put it in the scroll and say, I believe. Those of you in the parking lot, can somebody shout with a honk? All right. Now, what did I read about the Bereans? Because I believe there's some similarities between this church way back when and today. They were different, and we need to understand this clearly, than any other church. And as we look at them, this group of Jewish folks in Macedonia, they were only 45 miles away from Thessalonica and completely two different responses to Paul's preaching. So I wanted to have three takeaways from them that I believe is relevant for us today. The first point that I would say to you is this: noble character is connected to spiritual growth. Can somebody say grow? Say grow. Online, type it in. Say, I want to grow. You see, spiritual character is connected. Spiritual noble character is connected to spiritual growth. It says in verse 11, they were different. They were different than the people in Thessalonica. They were different than them. They wanted truth. And when they got the truth, they were transformed. And they weren't content just to get it one and done. They were continually, it says, day after day, seeking after it, making sure what Paul is saying is the truth. How many times have I said to you, don't you take what I say from this platform or from that roof or from that stage in there. You go back and you look at Scripture and you evaluate it. Because if you don't, you're setting yourselves up. Don't ever, ever, ever hook, line, and sinker. Just take things for face value. You need with truth. Dig in like the Bereans. Is this from God? Can I get an amen? Now, what made them different? What made them have noble characters that they were all in? 100%, which I've already told you. Now, here's what the church has done really well, and maybe you're a part of it. You've learned. You've been in the church for a long time. And you know what it looks like to be a 95% in for Jesus. Now, here's the scary thing about 95%. Only you and only God knows that you're 95% in. Nobody else is going to know that last 5%. But until you give that last 5%, will you ever understand what it truly means to love the Lord with all your heart, to truly have purpose? You will struggle in that last 5% at levels that you continually seek. And I'm here to tell you, the way you get there, it's called surrender. Can somebody repeat after me? Say, surrender. Online, type it in. Say, I surrender. Surrender. And then we keep on surrendering over and over and over again. It's not a one and done. But that last 5%, it is so difficult. Do you have relationships with people that you can honestly share about that last 5%? Do you? Many of us do not. We can go all the way up to 95%, but when you get into the last 5, now you're getting into my stuff. And until we get into your stuff, until you let him into your stuff, will you and I ever experience what we're to experience? Do you know that in Matthew 26, Jesus had to struggle with this? Did you know that? The Son of God. He was in the garden. What did he pray? Father, if it's possible, his last 5%, if it's possible, I don't want to go there. I'm just being honest. It's my last 5%. You with me? And then he surrendered that last 5%, didn't he? But not my will. Your will be done. You with me? The Apostle Paul, did you know he had his last 5% was before his death? Go to Acts 20. He loved his best. His homies were in Ephesus. And he was preaching up a storm. And they said, the rumor is out. If you leave us in Ephesus, they're going to kill you. And he prayed that last prayer. Lord, I could really rationalize it. I could have an incredible ministry here in Ephesus. Nobody will know the difference. But you will know. And I will know. And Paul's last 5% was this. I consider my life worth nothing to me. If only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. And we know the end story. He did die. What's your last 5%? I remember when I was in my 20s and I was on the circuit. You know what the circuit is? They're wanting you to go speak for them. And in 20, I thought I was something and then something, right? Seeing loads and scads of people come to Jesus and say yes in multiple ways. And then God said to me, Mick, I'm proud of you, but I got a 5% call on you. I'm asking you to put your speaking on the shelf indefinitely. And I want you to go to a place you can't even pronounce, who do not know me. And I'll tell you when it's time to come home. Would you be willing to go? I had to die to myself. And you think it's a one and done? If you live long enough, there's always another 5% that pops in there. And my most recent, as you already know, I'm a very transparent dude, was when God said, I want you to leave Detroit. I was like, oh, come on, Lord. Now, I died again and said yes, fulfilled at what I'm doing. But had I not said yes and been all in and knowing him, I would have never been able to be on this stage preaching to you with the things that God is doing. God already knows what he's up to. Can I get an amen, church? You see, that last 5% is crazy. And it builds noble character. You know what the Bible says about noble character? Mick Veach's interpretation. Paul says in Philippians 3, I consider everything cow dung compared to knowing Jesus. That's noble character. David said in Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I seek you through the watches of the night. I long for you. My body longs for you. Have you ever been to the point in your life that physically your body longed for Jesus? He says, I want you more than power, more than prestige, more than pleasure. Was David perfect? No. But that continual surrender was there. Even Peter, some of you are already, I can hear what's going on in your head. But if, Pastor, if you knew my life and my screw-ups, even Peter in his failure had to surrender his last 5%, which was his failure. And in John 21, Jesus said, do you love me? He had to ask him 3 times, and Peter said, you know I love you. It was in that moment he surrendered. You follow me? And even the old man, John, who lived to a ripe old age in persecution on an island, persecuted so he could surrender. Why don't I just go to glory with all the other disciples? I've already ran the race and fought the fight. Take me home. You've got one more task, John. I'll surrender it. Write the book of Revelation. We're going to need it for generations after you. What is your 5%? What are you going to do with it? It is time, my friends, that we stop talking about truth and start living truth. Yes, truth is important. But we have so many people in the church that are about crossing their T's and dotting their I's. But there is not love, and there's not grace, and there's not desire for Jesus. Your idolatry could actually be truth and the seeker of truth. You got to seek the one who is truth. You see the difference? You can study the Bible upside down, front and back. But until you encounter the living truth, what did Jesus say? I am the way. I am the life. I am the what? Somebody say truth. Online, go ahead and type it. Say truth. If you love him today online, why don't you smash that heart button and just let people know out there you are in love with him. We need to move along the continuum. Every single one of us in the body of Christ, we are at different levels. And guess what, my friends? Are you still with me? Am I going on? I got something to say, and I'm going to say it whether you fall asleep or not. And you online, I don't know whether you're asleep or not, so you're going to have to keep smashing the button. But I have something to say. We've got to be okay where everybody is on this continuum of growth and stop judging everybody where they're at. So some of you here today are online. You're on the journey of trying to figure out who Jesus is, and you're welcome here. Can anybody say they're welcome? You are welcome here. You don't have to get cleaned up before you come and be a part of us. You can come and be a part of us. Does anybody else agree with me today? If you can you put your hands together? We believe that Jesus is the cleaner upper, not me, right? So I move from seeking to believing. And then many of us are stuck in the new believing moment and you stagnated. It's time to move on. And then you move on to the growing. And many of us are in this category. I'm growing in Jesus. But that isn't the last stage. And many of us think that it is. Because growing in Jesus is including Jesus in all the areas of my life. Lord, bless my kids. I've said this before. Bless my family. Bless my job. There's nothing wrong with that. But you need to move on. Where you move into the Christ-centered, where you say, Lord, I don't want you just to bless me. I want to join you. I want to join your stuff instead of asking you to join my stuff. That's where he's taking us. This is what it means to be all in. Now, what's the practical point to this whole first point about noble character and spiritual growth? I'm not here just to wind you up. I'm here to give you tools in your toolbox. The first thing that I'd say clearly to you is this. If you haven't been in God's word, you've got to get into his word now. If you do not know how to read his word, or you do not know where to go, go to MyKC app, call the church. We will begin with our team to connect you. But you can download the Bible, as many of you know. There are many, many reading plans that you can be engaged with. You need a simple journal. I challenge you for the next 21 days, if you're not reading God's word, to read one chapter a day. I challenge you. I double challenge you. One chapter every day in John, the gospel. For the next 21 days and see what happens to you. And journal some thoughts with that. That's the first thing that I would say to you. Now the second one is critical that you need to hear. What did I say that the storms are coming? We need to be on the rock. I've said over and over again, the mission will stay the same, but we will adapt. And adapting is not just being in a parking lot. It's my responsibility as the lead pastor to prepare this church for whatever comes. And it's not looking very good. And I'm an optimist. So here's what we're doing. In the past, we've called you to be in groups. We've called him a variety of names. It's been kind of an option. I'm here to declare to you, if you can hear my voice, either online or here in the parking lot, I believe with everything I've got, we are now at the point in our history and as a church that if you decide you will not engage in a group, you are playing Russian roulette. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, you're thinking that maybe it'll get better and therefore I won't need the community around me. And I'm here to say we don't know exactly how that. We know it's going to get worse. We just don't know when and when that all is going to fulfill. So it's our responsibility to prep you so that you have what you need when those things begin to arrive. It's happening at such a fast rate right now. For many of us, it's surreal. We're even having difficulty actually processing all the things, one thing after the other. And now we've got the presidential election, and we've got all these other things going, and we simply don't know where that's taking us. But I know it's my responsibility is to prepare you. So here's what I'm saying. If you're already in a group, we are, for continuity's sake, we are now calling all groups community groups. And I'm saying to you, if you're in a group and you've been kind of laissez about it, you need to engage. If you're not in a group, I hope you can hear me, and online, go to my KCC app. This is not a advertisement. This is life and death spiritually. And you need to go into the area that I need to get into a group. Go to the website and see the area that be into groups. We are ready to do this. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to practice Acts chapter 2. We're going to set you all up in community groups. And in those community groups, there's nothing new about this. Church has been doing this for thousands of years. It's not novel. I get it. But we're going to actually organize you into groups of four or five community groups. And then we are going to commission lay pastors over you. Kind of the Moses Jethro thing. So that everybody, nobody is missed. And then in those community groups, you're going to grow together. Kind of the book of Acts chapter 2. You're going to grow together. You're going to pray together. You're going to fellowship together. And you're going to serve together. In other words, we're going to be there for one another. But you also need to realize this. It's not just about you. In 2 weeks on this stage, God willing, we are going to introduce our new director for local outreach. And then he will coordinate your community groups through your lay pastor to be able to be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world that desperately needs it. We've already lost 33% of the church, as I've told you. I told you that they're already telling us from Barna Research that 1 out of 5 churches will close in the next 18 months. In the next 18 months, 1 out of 5 churches will close. This is SOS 911. If we sit back and just exist for ourselves, we've already signed our death wish. We have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So it's a both and. We will care for one another. We will set up in such a way that we will be there for one another. But we will also mobilize you to serve. Can somebody say amen to this? You no longer have an option to play the American Christian card. That is, I'm okay and I'm cool with doing it by myself. Where I can engage when I want and pull away. I'm an introvert. I don't want people to know my business. I don't want people to know my last 5%. Then you play your Russian roulette. And see whether or not you stand. We're going to be in a few weeks, have to go back into this building. Brent says until we get 44 inches of snow, but who knows when. And as we look at this, mark my word, there will be a vast majority of you will not feel comfortable going in. So here's why we're going to organize you. I'm not wanting you just to stay online in your homes. No. We're going to organize you in a community group that you can be together and you get up on Sunday morning like you would literally come here and go to one another's homes and you worship online with us if you don't feel comfortable. You're going to be invited to come in. And you've heard on the video that we just put out this last few days, it's a hybrid. So we're going to do it both and. We're going to do it live, but we're going to do it online. And for those of you who don't feel comfortable being live, then you're going to have to go to places that you can be in relationship with other people so you can have smaller areas that you can have the support that you want. We're still going to offer. We've already started them. We're going to have our classes and our events in the church hybrid. Our tech team's done an incredible job. We got these big screens and all these classrooms and Wi-Fi. So a shout out to Matt and his team. They've done an incredible job. And so we did our first one yesterday with the cohorts. It was amazing. We had a big old screen and people were, we had 15 people watching and people in the classroom. I'm okay with it. That's what I mean about adapting. We will not judge any of you if you don't feel comfortable coming live. Did you hear what I said? And if anybody starts going in that lane, you be sure to come talk to me about that, because it will not be permitted at this church. We will not judge anybody depending on what they feel. Can somebody say amen to that? We are the body of Christ, and we will support one another. The hybrid approach. We must become desperate for Jesus to know him above all else. Two quick things. The second point is this. When we decide, just like the Bereans, that we're going to be all in and love Jesus and seek for truth, opposition is always present, and it's coming. Can somebody say, protect us? Online, I want you to type in there, say, protect us, Lord. Now, we see what happened to the Bereans. You read the story, right? 13 and 14. These Thessalonians had the audacity to travel 45 miles away and actually attack the Bereans. Agitate, it says. Cause up destruction and disturbances. Why? It's all demonically induced. Going back to the battle series. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but he's provoking, and he's using us like pawns, just like he did back in the day with the Bereans. And he was attacking them and coming after them, stop them before they could ever get going. Are we not seeing the church under attack today? I will mark my word today, my friends. If you decide today that you will begin to be all in, the enemy will come against you. I don't say that for you to be scared. I say that for you to put on your armor, as Debbie preached a while ago, to understand greater is he who is in you. How many believe greater is the one who is in you? How many know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? This is the way we want to live. And the enemy is opposing us on different levels, my friends. His number one approach is what? Take out the leader or the leader's family. We see it generation after generation after generation. I don't have to go far into the news to even not even elaborate about Liberty University. It's not a judgment call. It's another sad tragedy of the demonic attack on leaders. The second way he's attacking us as we decide we're all in is keep the church in disunity. That we will fight over things that simply we should not be fighting over. We should stay on mission and know Jesus. And as I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. As long as I am the pastor of this church, we will stay on mission if I'm the last man standing. It is to know Jesus with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to make him known to all the world. If anybody believes that, I want you to say amen online, and I want the rest of you to give me just one honk. All right, that's worth preaching when I hear that. Now, we could go on and on about how he's attacking us, but how's he attacking you? It's going to come if it's not already there. Are you aware of it, about your selfishness and your own agenda? The biggest problem we have in the church today is we want it our way. Been there for a long time, hasn't it? Fight over the stupidest things. I simply will not let us go there. There are people dying, and we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and I'm not going to allow us. The beauty of a mosaic of people is that we all come with these incredibly different worldviews, but we fall under one worldview called the biblical worldview. And we all are even at the foot of the cross. Can somebody say amen? It's been around us forever. We've seen it. Paul and Barnabas in a squabble. You read the 1 Corinthians and the Church of Corinthians. They had squabbles about everything. Food offered to sacrifices. Worship. And that's been going on ever since. The worship wars. We're fighting over masks. We're fighting over do we go inside or outside. We're fighting over who you're going to vote for. We're fighting over racial tensions. And I'm not saying these things aren't issues. I'm saying they're getting us off of the most important thing. Things can be really, really important. But as soon as they elevate above the kingdom of God, and as soon as they become more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ, it's an idol. Even your children can become an idol. Does this make sense to anybody? God help us. God help me. God help me. Because I, like anybody else, can get off on my tangent. Anybody else willing to confess they can get on their tangent? God help us. Some of you are struggling today, and you've got lost like beyond description. I want you to know we're here for you. Starting in a few weeks, the 1st of October, we're going to have another class here for grief. And some of you need to go online and begin to sign up for it. It's going to be a virtual class, but we are here to support you in your loss. How do I oppose the enemy? I've said it over and over again. I'm going to say it again. Number one, admit your sin. 1 John 1:9. Denounce Luke 17:18. Denounce the enemy and all the demonic and the strongholds in the name of Jesus. Stand against it. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. Online, type it in. Say, in Jesus' name, there's victory. Repent. Turn away from your strongholds and your sin. It's old-fashioned, but it's true. And Acts 3:19 says, times of refreshment will come from the Lord. You can't do it by yourself. Ephesians 5:18. Y'all, stop getting drunk on wine. Instead, be filled with the Holy Ghost. You don't believe me, read it. Ephesians 5:18. You can't, but he can. And be accountable. That's why we're having community groups. What does Hebrews tell us? Hebrews 10:24. As you see the day approaching, let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day of Christ approaching. Anybody seeing the day of Christ quickly coming? We need to encourage each other in that regard. The enemy is going to oppose us, but we got the victory. Can somebody say, I've got the victory? Online, type that in. Say, I've got the victory. Let me give you my last thought from the Bereans. Not only did they have noble character because they were all in. Not only did they understand their opposition and they stood against it. But the final result was this. Number three, many people believed in Jesus. Would you repeat after me? Say, I believe. Say it again. I believe. We see in verse 12 that the first multi-ethnic church was established. You say, where'd you see that? Verse 12. See, the Bereans were Jews, just in a city called Berea. But then they all got excited for Jesus, and they stood against the enemy. They were growing, right? And as they were growing, guess what happened? It said, many more of the Berean Jews came to know Jesus. And not only them, many, it says, prominent men. It says women first. I like this. Women and men of Greek background. So now you got Jews and Greeks praising Jesus at the same time. Now that's something of a miracle. So this whole multi-ethnic sharing together and we're not having to wait till heaven with people that don't look like us is simply crazy. We don't have to wait. It's a biblical concept. Can somebody say amen? And we know that if we fall in love with Jesus, my friends, that other people will find him attractive simply by who you are. And the early church, the Bereans, they were engaged with preaching and teaching and praying and serving and with these community groups. That's what we are committed to do. And the result throughout the book of Acts is clear. Acts 2:41, God added to their number how many? 3,000. Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. Acts chapter 8, the Christians were persecuted, scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, and they preached Christ as they went. Acts chapter 8, then an Ethiopian, there I'm going fast again, got all excited. Ethiopian comes, and we see Philip lead him to Jesus. Acts chapter 10, we got Peter praying together an entire household of Italians. Oh, right, any Italians out there? They're on the east side. I don't know, any Italians on the west side? Come on out there. But see, they're on the east side. So if I'd have done that on the east side, they'd all been shouting hallelujah. Acts 10, Cornelius and his whole family come to Christ. When you fall in love with Jesus, he's going to add to our number. Because when you get the heart of God, you realize it isn't just for me. It's for everybody. It's for all of us. The purpose, the key point is God's purpose will be revealed as we grow. Now let me conclude before we go to communion and ask you to do this. The next steps are very simple. If you truly want more of Jesus today, I do. You've got to decide to give up that last 5%. Are you willing to go there? It's the toughest. That's why it's the last five. Do you really trust him? Lord, you know. You say the Lord knows, but you're afraid. Let's be honest. Can we be honest for a second? Many of us are afraid that if I give the last 5%, you believe God's going to make you do something that you don't like. He's going to make you go somewhere, give up something. I can't tell you he won't do that. But I can tell you this. If you don't, you will pay the consequences and never fulfill the experience of that. You need to give up your last 5%. You need to decide, I'm going to be in a community group. And I'm scared spitless because I am so shy. I've learned to function on my own. The storms are coming. Church, it's our responsibility to prepare you. I don't know how it's all going to play out, but we're setting up a structure that will make the church be strong. I've lived through it. I've been in a revolution physically in a country. I've baptized people in the bathtubs because they would be killed if it were in a lake. I'm seeing things that I'll talk about next week as we make him known. I'll just say this. We have one problem as Americans. Are you with me still online? We have one problem. We interpret and we look at Scripture only through the eyes as an American. We're only 5% of the world's population, my friends. Here's what you need to understand, is that when we look about the return of Jesus and the things that are going on around us in the U.S., we have to include that into the big picture of what's going on around the globe. And then we can draw a better understanding what's before us. And there, I'm not going to give it away, I will next week. There's some crazy things happening around the globe today. But because we have all spin, we don't have world news anymore. We don't even have news. We're the most uneducated peoples when it comes to what's happening around the world. It's time that stops. You got to start to dig and understand that we're going to need community groups. The church started with them. Acts chapter 2, did they not? My guess is that before Jesus comes back, we'll end with them. This is not Mick Veach's desire. This is not my plan. I'm just trying to prepare us. Are you ready? And you need to decide that you're going to be all in this fall, and you want more. Before we go to communion, whether you're online or whether you're in the parking lot, here's what I want you to do. I want to pray for you. And here's my call. If we were in the building, we'd already be at the altar. And I asked the Lord, how could we do an application? And I'm going to demonstrate it by myself and invite you in. I'm going to ask those of you online in your homes, which may feel a little bit awkward, but for the rest of you in the parking lot, if this message resonated with you and you've been following Jesus for a lot of years, but the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and you resonate with that part of our mission, I want to know Jesus more. I want to know him more right now, and I want to draw a line in the sand. I'm going to pray that he gives me more. I'm going to raise my hands and receive that blessing. I'm going to invite you online. I'm going to invite you in the parking lot that resonates with. I'm going to have you stand. Don't you dare stand unless you mean it. And raise your hands to heaven as a symbol before God and your brothers and sisters that I want more of Jesus. I'm all in. Count me in, Lord. At home, stand. In the parking lot, if you're in your car and you want to stand, get out. If you're on a chair and you want to stand, get up. And I'm going to pray. I'll give you a second as Brant plays. I wish you at home could see this. It's a pretty cool sight on the end of the parking lot. Little by little, people are standing. Let me ask you a question before I pray. Did you understand what I said? Do you get that it's going to be tough? Do you realize that you need one another? Do you realize that my love for Jesus is the most important thing that matters above everything else? Y'all get that? Can you nod online and say yes? Type it in. And the rest of you, can you nod for me if you understand what I'm saying? I can see you out there. Okay. Before we take communion, I know I preached longer, but I had a message and I had to do it. I'm going to ask you to raise your hands if you're able. And let's, in one body, ask for more of him. Lord Jesus, I now pray for myself and for my brothers and my sisters. I don't know all of their names. But you do. You know every single name. You know all of those that are online at home right now. You know the struggle. Many people who have their hands up right now, including myself, we have tasted and known that the Lord is good. We've tasted it. But Lord, it's like a snickerdoodle. I can't just have one. I need more. I need more and more and more of you. That's what it's like to enter into your presence. So we open up our arms with all of our frailty and all of our humanness and all of our struggle. And we say, we love you. Would you repeat after me if you're able, online or in person? Can you say, I love you? We surrender the last 5%. If you're able to say that and mean it, will you say, I surrender? Say it again. I surrender. Have your way. Not my will, but your will be done. Start hearing me. Lord, make my heart ablaze. Make my heart ablaze, on fire for you. Help me to seek first the kingdom and your righteousness And then all these other things that Paul said is cow dung will be added unto me as well. But I want to love you more this very moment. So supernaturally, I pray that you would usher your spirit throughout this entire parking lot. In Jesus' name, I make that declaration over every man and woman and child, every language and people group which English is not their first. I pray your spirit would speak into their heart in their native tongue, that they will see and feel and experience the power and the moving of the unifying power of the Holy Spirit. And for those that are at home, for the one who did not have the energy to get up out of bed today, for the one who is so depressed they don't want to be around anybody any longer, I pray your power and your spirit into their room, into their living room, into their kitchen, on their deck, in their car, wherever they are. I believe in this craziness enough to believe you can do it right here and right now. We have a lot of struggles. You are so patient with every single one of us. But the last thing I pray, may it be the mark of those who call this little dot of the body of Christ, this place called KCC, may it be known of us that we are people in love with you above all else. I pray that in Jesus' name, because I believe it with everything I have. And all God's people said, amen. Here's what I want us to do. I want you to grab your communion elements. And those at home, would you grab yours? Give me a second. I got to do two things at once here. Tear and hold the mic. Go ahead and open yours. This is very emotional to me. This is the first time we have in person shared communion for nearly too many months. Yeah, we've done it virtually during the shutdown. For those of you online, I'm glad you're able to participate with us. But church, we've been able to do it together. For without this, the ability to love Jesus is futile. And Jesus said to us, as he said to the disciples, this is my body that is broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me and be thankful as you take the wafer and be thankful that I love you and I have died for you. Amen. Now take the cup. And he showed the full extent of his love to his disciples. And he said, it's done. It's finished. No more blood to be spilled. It's final. Your part of the covenant is simple. Follow me. So don't only take this with a heart that's thankful, but church, take this with a heart like the Bereans did, that anticipated that he's coming back very soon. In Jesus' name, amen. Please partake. Let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to truly understand the beauty of your death and resurrection. That I'm a new creation. The old is gone. 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 And I'm as white as snow. Thank you, Lord. Spiritually speaking, you have made us clean. And we pray that you would begin that new journey for all of us. I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.